It's so good to see you this morning. I'm going to ask you if you'd take your Bibles. Let's turn to the book of Philippians. And we're going to look at the name of God. If you came to Catalyst this morning, that's our Bible study time. Thank you, Mr. Sometimes I slip, right? My gears don't go all the way to the top there. If you ever wonder what this is, it's just a Bluetooth device that I get to speak to Mr. Bernard's head right to him. Sometimes I'll leave it on just for a second and say, this is God speaking. And I speak right into his ear, so just for fun. We do Bluetooth, obviously. Hopefully one day the whole place will be Bluetooth and you can Bluetooth it on your phones. Technology is incredible. And so we want to make sure we can actually get the word of God out no matter what. God gives us opportunity in the time that we live. So take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Paul, the church is called the church at Philippi. That's a funny name. There's a lot of funny names in the Bible. But the church at Philippi was a church that Paul wrote to, and that he commended them for a couple things. They were not the richest church, but they gave to support missions. They were the ones who giving, and they were a charitable church. But they also was a church who had a couple of ladies in the church. You know what I mean? You ever been into a church when you was growing up, and there was a couple of ladies in the church, and they always wanted to be the boss of everything? Well, if you go to chapter 4, you'll find those couple of ladies, good saints of God, but Paul calls them out by name. Could you imagine being recorded in Holy Scripture with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all these great natural phenomena, these mysteries, these supernatural miracles, all the things God records, and your name, two ladies' names, are recorded for fighting in the church? How would you like that? Forever. Because the Bible says God's word will never go away. So in eternity, guess what? Oh, you're Yodia, right? I'm going to walk right up to him. If God, I know I'm going to be redeemed, so I won't get to be sarcastic, I don't think, when I get to heaven. But, man, if I get a chance, I'm going to bust these ladies in the chops with fun. Just say, oh, you're the one I read about so many times wondering what y'all were arguing about, right? Reason that's funny is because I'm that guy as well, right? And you're that lady and that guy as well. You're the one that was born a sinner, and you're the one that needs a Savior, and you're the one, if you give enough opportunity, you'll be the same one that makes the same mistakes in the church. You'll be the one who leaves the church because you're upset. You'll be the one who shows up only at Easter because it makes grandma happy, and you don't see a need for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you'll be that one if you're not careful. These ladies were saved. They just disagreed, and Paul calls them out to be unified. So the whole book of Philippians, if you want to put one title over everything, is unity. Be unified in the body of Christ. Be one. Because the Father and I are one, you are my body of Christ, you be one with us. We talk about, I like to aggravate Pastor Adrian and Next Generation Church as they grow and as they go through all the growing pains. Listen, Town Creek was started as a church plant in 1859. Town Creek started Millbrook in 1884. Millbrook started Cedar Creek in 1994. If you start looking at histories, where did the church come from? The church came from Jesus Christ, right? His death, burial, and resurrection. The church is the church. We don't like church names, but we say names because we understand that in our culture. But it could be easy that we're the church meeting at 250 Town Creek Road. The church, because Christ is the head of the church and we are his body, or we're his flock, the sheep of his pasture. So if you would, go with me. Paul talks about unity in chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. He's telling the church, be unified. Be role models, set the example, and then he comes into verse 5, and he's going to change gears, and he's going to tell you, and your translation might say the mind of Christ or the attitude of Christ. On this, as we talk about, I heard the scriptures being read, Zechariah chapter 9, where it was prophesied 500 years, as I mentioned from the baptism pool, 500 years before Jesus came riding in on this donkey as the King of Kings, it was prophesied just exactly as he said it was going to happen. How could that happen? Because God is God, and is Jesus God? Yes. We call him the Son of God. We call him different names, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible is very clear that the three are present. You'll see them even when we were made, mankind was made. In Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image. It's plural there, Elohim. Let us make man in our image. And so what happens is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit creates man. We talk about the boys playing the dirt all the time. Men were made from dirt. That's why we like to get dirty and play in the mud, I think. Women were made from the bone, right? Something very precious, the body. They were made from the bone and the body. A little bit different, but 100% of you, whoever you are, man or woman, were made from God. Hence, there's only men and there's only women in our culture, no matter what our culture says. Amen? Well, Pastor, that's not politically correct. Don't you think it's high time that the church gets not politically correct and stays biblically correct? God is our creator. God is the one, no matter what you think, if it's outside of Scripture, guess what? You're wrong. The end. And that makes people mad, but it makes pastors like me happy because I'm like, everybody says, how do you preach? I'm like, it's easy. I just say what God says. And everybody takes a shot at me, right? I'll get letters, I know, and I call them love letters. That makes me, that's therapy for me. Let's read together Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, that's Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Well, since this is true, verse 9, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father God, thank you today that you've given us this word of encouragement, exhortation, call out, whatever we might say, that you want us unified together, not just because we have a common goal or we have a common, as it were, a culture or background, because we're all different. We come from different places, different backgrounds, even some different languages. But Father, we've been called to have a common Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You've called us out to be set apart, to be sanctified for you. We're different than we used to be. We're not the same people. We're not religious in the sense of being just religious. Father, we're not Baptists or whatever title we have just because of the sake of the title. Father, we're Christ followers who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Young and old, Lord, you have saved us if we've called upon your name. The opportunity and the gift is there. Jesus himself said, for God so loved the world that he gave himself, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because you didn't come to condemn us, you come to save us. Father, can you get that through some of our hard hearts today? Some of our friends and family, we've been praying for them for a while, for them to be saved. And Father, it's a truth from your word. Help us be the people, men and women of God, you've called us to be, especially this time of year to celebrate. Here comes Jesus, and it's not that he's riding on a donkey this time, but he's coming for his church. He's on his way, and we understand. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. Thank you for this word. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Hey, if you didn't get a bulletin today, we have notes on the back of the bulletin. That's why we'd like for you to give you a copy. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand. Our ushers, I know, are probably going to put them out, but they'll bring them out to you. If you want a copy, they'll just run it to you. That way we have a record of your, I know Derek mentioned the Connect card. If you'll tear that off and have a record of your attendance today, guests and members alike. But the most important part is letting us pray for you, but also having those notes as you go. Because I like questions. If you have a question about what we put out today, slip your hand up and Dan, I have some. Anybody need a bulletin? Anyone need one? Somebody just raise his hand to help him because he stood up for you. So somebody just fake him out. Adrian, raise your hand. All right, we need one right up front. Adrian needs one. All right. Very good. All right, let's look and see what the Word of God says. And pray for me, too. I got a little bit of allergies kicking up, so we'll work through this. Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeshua, the Messiah, is Adonai. Well, that's the title that we have today. Jesus Christ is Lord. We say that a lot, but what does it mean to you and me? What does it mean in the common vernacular today for us to say Jesus is Lord? Well, we look at Jesus, his name. I told you when I was a kid growing up in the church, I thought his first name was Jesus, and I thought his last name was Christ. I thought he was Jesus Christ. That's all I ever heard. And I thought his daddy was Joseph Christ, and his mom was Mary Christ. Why are you laughing? Because y'all probably thought the same thing, right? I didn't know, because we have first and last names where I'm from, and I always thought that. I didn't know Jesus was his given name, meaning Savior, or saved now, and I didn't know Christ was his title, what he was the Messiah. That's what it means. Savior, the Messiah, the one who's going to save his people from their sins. I wasn't clear on that, but now listen, isn't it a beautiful thing to think about? His name shall be called Jesus because he'll save his people from our sins. We read that at Christmas in Matthew chapter 1. That's where he got his name. It was a holy name that God had said, listen, this is the name for Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. Now, I told you last week, if you were listening, there were a bunch of Jesuses in Jesus' day. It's like there's Johns and Joshuas. There were several Jesuses in probably his town. Everyone, that name would have been a name that was a common name, like Joshua. It was a common name, Yeshua. But we look here, he has not just a name, but he has a title. It's important to understand the difference. Some kid, we talk about the names. There's a story of someone that served Alexander the Great, and there was a whole thing of his name was Christian, and he was told either change your ways or change your names. He was a very vile man, but he had the name of Christian, and he was told change your names or change your ways. Don't call yourself a Christian, and we've said that before. By all means, if you're acting a fool in society, you cuss and carry on, you use the name of God in vain, please don't tell anybody you attend Town Creek, and don't tell anybody that you're a Christian. If anything, tell them you're Muslim. Tell them you're Latter-day Saints or something, a Jehovah's Witness. Don't tell them that you represent Jesus Christ. You are a terrible hypocrite. You're the worst kind of people we could have repping Town Creek, a.k.a. the kingdom of God, right? If we back up Town Creek, it's just the surface because we're here. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say our name, hopefully we say our name and we represent the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. So don't misrepresent the name of Christ. Don't call yourself a Christian just because you show up at a church. Don't call yourself a Christian because Mama wants you to go to church on Easter Sunday morning. Call yourself a Christian because you have sold or you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've surrendered to him and you are a bondservant. You're a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. But no longer just slave, you are a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are son, daughter of God. And you've been redeemed and you have a purpose. And your purpose is to bring him glory and to enjoy him while you live. We look at the scripture here. Let's go to your notes if you'd see this with me for a moment. Jesus the Messiah is Adonai. He's all powerful. He is boss, if you will, in our lives. Our life in Christ begins with the renewing of our minds. As followers of Jesus, we are called to think and live in a way that is centered on God. Is that true? We call it a God-centered living. And so many of us are hung up in self-centered living. This stuff makes no sense to us because many people think the world revolves around them. You got to get out of my way. You got to let me first. I want front-of-the-line privileges. You owe me because I exist, whatever it might be. How many of you have children? Anybody have children in the house or children outside the house? You know what I speak of. Amen? They think everything revolves around them. And if you cater to that, if you don't get them in discipline with the Word of God, they'll grow up believing that they're super special and they get front-of-the-line privileges. Well, brothers and sisters, listen, you are super special in the eyes of God, but you're still a nobody when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to you as a sinner. You're just like everyone else in the boat. We're on a mission. And as a matter of fact, Christians don't belong in front of the line. The first shall be what? That doesn't make any sense because our nature is to compete and be first. When it comes to the gospel, we should be the first one in front of the line to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be a good soldier and a good athlete. We want to compete to get the gospel out there. But when it comes to being served, what should we do? We fall into the last place and say, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ modeled humility for us. What can we possibly do? But not in our culture today, in American culture especially. And it's not just our culture. It's around the world. Mankind wants to please mankind. I want what I want, and therefore the rest can be up to whatever the rest of the world. I don't care what happens. It happens in our lives. That's why God ordained not just the church, not for us just to be out sharing the gospel, but God ordained the government as well. God ordained the government that we have today. Like it, lump it, or indifferent, God ordained it. What's the government's job? Punish evil. Punish evil. We want everybody to be rehabilitated out there. We want to rehabilitate them in jails, and we want to make them better. What do you do when you put lipstick on a pig? You have a pig with lipstick on it. Same thing if you don't change a sinner's heart. What happens when you dress them up, put them in a suit, bring them to church, and they sing songs, pray prayers, and they're not changed on the inside? What happens? Still a sinner. Brothers and sisters, listen. And when I was young, everybody would say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. God. Well, they emphasized being a sinner saved by grace. That is true. But brothers and sisters, if you've given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a saint of the living God. You've been bought by his blood. He died on the cross for your sins. Not so that you can actually just waller and say, I'm a sinner. Don't emphasize the sinner. Emphasize sainthood. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Don't continue to call yourself what you used to be. Call yourself a saint of the living God. Truth is, are you a sinner saved by grace? If you've been saved, yes, you were a sinner. God extended his grace, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. He gives you faith, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. By the way, he gives you the faith as well. And when you trust him, yes, you are a sinner saved by grace. But don't dwell on the sin. Dwell on the Savior. It is Jesus who saved you, not you. Didn't do anything to merit it. You didn't do anything to earn his grace. He gave it to you. It was God giving you a gift. And when you receive that gift of God, guess what happens? He makes you 100% new. It's what Paul says. All things have become new. And brothers and sisters, if you look in the mirror and you haven't seen that all things have become new in your life, if you just can take it or leave it, you need to check the mirror again. And not the mirror that's in front of you where you brush your teeth, but you need to check yourself in the mirror of God's word. What does God say you are? Who does it say you are? And listen, when you start figuring out, wait a minute, I serve this huge, great, big God. I serve a God who loves me. I serve a God who created all things. I serve a God who died on the cross so that I might be redeemed, bought back, and be with him forever. That's an awesome God, would you agree? And not only is he saying, you don't have to call him a God, 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 and God, and God. He says, listen, Jesus said when you pray, call me Abba. Call the Father Abba. Make it personal that you speak with him, because his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray like this. Abba, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Where? As it is in heaven. Well, how is God getting his kingdom work done today? If God was putting every Christian on commission, how many of you would have made a dime this week for Jesus? If the king put us on commission this week, it says, you are to go populate the kingdom, and you tell everybody. If it were sales, you sell everybody on Jesus Christ, how awesome he is. Just tell one person, that's a commission. Somebody prays and receives Christ, that's a double commission. You baptize somebody, that's a triple commission. What if it was like that? I dare say any of you would have the money to buy gas to get to church today, because you haven't shared the love of Jesus Christ. Not with one person. You haven't even texted it to anybody, let alone shared it with your mouth. So the kingdom, sometimes we see the darkness of the world. We go, oh, the world is falling apart. Iran's being blown up. Whoa, what's happening? Gas prices are high. Groceries high. We complain, we complain, we complain. The time has come for the church to stop complaining and be about the business of the living God. Yeah. It's your job, my job, to do what God has called us to do. What do we do? Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I've told you time and time again, I do not understand your personal situation. But there's a God who made you and a God who wants to save you. If he saved you, he understands. He's gone before you. The Bible says he's before you, behind you. He's around you to carry you through. When you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you say, I surrender my life to Christ. He comes to live inside of you. The policeman, as it were, or the governor is inside. I don't have to say, I hope somebody stops me. Stop me, Lord, if I'm going to do this. The Lord will say, stop, stop, stop. Yesterday, we were up in Greenville, and they drive just as bad in Greenville as we do in Aiken. Light turned hard red, and beep, I blew the horn, and the person kind of almost wrecked getting out of the way. I'm like, that was good. You say, well, that was wrong. Horns are only supposed to use for warnings. I was warning them, you run a red light. And if I was a police officer, I'd write you a ticket. Have you heard the warning from the Word of God? There's a warning is for us to live worthy of the calling. What would happen if we We're the person. We have somebody say, hey, watch me this week. If I don't walk worthy, just blow the horn. Have any of y'all ever had a horn stick on a car? Tell you a quick story. We were going to a basketball game far away up in Sumter, and I was showing the kids, I was telling the story, and in the church van bus, and I was going to show them like a fake elbow drop, and I hit that little, just that little aluminum thing in between the horn that says forward, barely. I barely did it, but it was a sensor right behind that, and it bent in, and we blew the horn all the way to Sumter. We pulled into the church school that we were playing. And we had to wait till we got out to pull the fuse to make it stop. Pass the people on the road because there was nowhere to pull over. It was like this. And we're just passing people. Isn't that the way it would be in our lives if God blew the horn, had somebody blow the horn every time we didn't do what God has called us to do? Would you be annoyed by the horns that were going off around you? Sometimes we wish there was horns that would blow just to alert us because we get so busy. We get so distracted. The cares of the world, we focus on them instead of focusing on the one who cares for the world. And we look in the Word of God today and we say, well, this Jesus, that he's Jesus. That's why he can do that. He's Jesus. But I want to tell you, you can't live this Christian life by yourself. It is Christ in you, Christ through you. The Holy Spirit leads it for you. You have to be willing and submissive to the Holy Spirit. And then you have to be obedient. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me, like Isaiah said, send me. And will the God send you? The God of all creation, will he send you? The God of love, will he send you? Yes, he'll send you. Listen, aren't you glad God's not like me, wanting to blow a horn at you every time you make a mistake? Scripture invites us to look to Jesus himself as our perfect example, especially in humility. He's the pattern of Christian living through the Holy Spirit. That's where we get the pattern from. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. If you read that today, and I'm not going to have opportunity to go there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, Paul tells us, again, telling the church at Corinth, have the mind of Christ. You need to have this in you because Jesus Christ is the one who went before us. Jesus Christ is the one who came to dwell us. The big word, incarnation. We said this morning in Bible class, he came in flesh. Incarnation. Everybody say incarnation. Big word. Incarnation. That means he came in flesh. The incarnate flesh God. He took on flesh. He took on a body like ours, born of a virgin. We'll see that in your notes, but with no sin. Look at your notes. Verses 6 and 7 tell us very clearly who Jesus Christ was. In this passage, we are brought face to face with a profound and holy mystery. Some people like mysteries. Some people don't. This is the mystery of God. Jesus Christ, who is one with the Father and fully possesses the nature of God, did not cling to his divine privileges. He did not cease to be God. Mark that in your notes if you would underline. This has been a fight throughout all of history. Scholars have disagreed. He didn't set aside. When the Bible says he emptied himself, he did not stop being God. Jesus is God. He was God in the womb. He was God before the womb, in the womb, and after the womb. He was God. Jesus Christ, we read in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forevermore. Jesus never changes. You say, well, he changed and took on flesh. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about his, as deity, he never changes. Was he a God at 2 months old? He was the God at 2 months old. Did he have the power of God at 2 months old? The answer is, yes, he did. But he set aside, as it were, watch this, he set aside his privileges. He did not cease to be God, nor did he diminish his deity. Instead, he willingly laid aside the outward display of his glory, and he took on the form, the Bible says, of a bondservant. A servant, not just a slave. This is a slave who was set free in their time. And then he says, I love you so much, I'm going to come back, and I want you to do something for me. If you got an earring, the slave would be put up next to the doorpost, and you would actually take a spear, if you will, or point, and just you would tap through and put an earring in the slave's ear. And every time they would go to town or they'd do business on behalf of the master, they would say, oh, you're a bondservant? Meaning I was freed, but my master was so good, I wanted to stay with him. I like living where he lives. He takes care of me. He takes care of my family. Therefore, I am a bond. I'm sold, as it were. I'm free, but I've dedicated my life to this master. Jesus came to take on the form of a servant, a bond servant. Who was he dedicated? Who was his master, if it was as you were when he was in flesh? He constantly submitted to the Father. I see what the Father's doing, and I'm about his business. Wherever he's at work, I'm at work. Jesus never had to come up and wake up on Monday and go, oh, what am I going to do today? Jesus was constantly praying, Father, what is your will for today? And God gave him wisdom. God makes the Word of God so simple, if you will just read it, he'll give you wisdom for the day. Do you believe that, church? So many people are arguing like, what's God's will for my life? We've said that time and time again because we learned it's not God's will for your life because, again, that's self-centered thinking. It's what is God's will, the end. What is God's will? Well, is it God's will that people get saved? Yes, it is. Is it God's will that I share the gospel? Yes, it is. And you go down and what is God's will? If the Bible says do this and you don't, you're out of God's will. When it's particular to that one unique thing. Remember, God's will is a kaleidoscope, much, much bigger than just one thing. Because when I was a kid, I told you, I used to suffer. What is God's will? If you just find it, it was like you had to go look for God's will in the woods, and you got to go find God's will over here, and maybe you're going to find God's will one day when you get really old. I didn't know God's will was multifaceted like that. It's like, where's the exit? If you pointed to the exit of this church, right now there's a loud noise. We have to exit quickly. Which way would you go? Point. Everybody's pointing in different directions. Look, I would get that way, right? Or that way. 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 And if I was really desperate, I'd take out one of these windows with a chair, right? So which way's the exit out of the church today? This way, right? The quickest way out. What is the will of God? It's multifaceted. There's multiple wills of God. It is God's will that I live a holy life. It's God's will that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's will that I pray. I believe it's God's will that I fast. It's God's will that I give financially of what he's blessed me with. I bless him back. Now we've got to talk about money on this special Sunday. I'm going to talk about money Easter Sunday just because. Because there's people that show up just for CEOs, we call them that, Christmas, Easter, and other occasions. I'm going to talk about money next week just because the Lord does. You should be giving. Don't you believe that's the will of God to make his message forward going forward in Jesus' name? We're sending a team to Thailand, y'all. We have a GoFund, $60,000, $70,000. We want them to go in Jesus' name. And when you give a dollar to that, guess what happens? You say, here we go. The picket tickets out there, you can actually feed the team while they're over there. They have to eat. I don't know if you know that. When they fly over there, they actually have to eat. They have to pay for the plane tickets. They have to pay for transportation. They have to pay for the place they stay. But they do give the gospel. They work hard, and you need to be praying for that team. You say, well, I don't have any money. Listen, I was in the parking lot watching my grandkid just today, and I was bored out of my mind because it was T-ball practice. So I'm walking in the parking lot just looking around like this. And guess what I found in the parking lot? A dime. If you're willing to give to the Lord and you don't have a dime, I'm telling you, God will supply the dime. Guess what I'm giving extra today? What do you think I'm giving extra today? A dime. Plus what I give, because I know God's work here in Aiken, South Carolina don't function off a dime. We spend more money on our stomachs going out the Longhorns than we do in the house of God. Do we not? Look around. Look at your neighbor and say, whoo-hoo, right? There's a Pillsbury dough push on some of us, right? I'm sad. I'm losing weight, and I don't want to. But I like living in the land of the free and prosperity. I like the blessings of God. Here we see, watch this. Go to the next patch. I want you to see this in verse 7 and 8, especially the first part. Being made himself of no reputation, taking the form of the bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, meaning he took on flesh. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Go back to your notes if you see this. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus became truly human while remaining fully God. He entered into our condition, as it were, yet without sin. This is a truth that stretches our understanding, but it is the very heart of the gospel. Fully God and fully man. Say it with me. Fully God. Say it. Come on, say it like a minute. Fully God. And fully man. You're like, how can you be 100% God and 100% man? Ask God. All right. He came near to save us, y'all. His whole purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to know what his, somebody says, what was his purpose for living? His whole purpose for coming was to bring glory to the Father and to die. He was born at Christmas, we celebrate, to die. Not only death, but not to stay dead, on the third day be raised forevermore, just as the scriptures foretold. Did you know Isaiah 53, some 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified? We'll read it next week, Isaiah 53, if you want to get ahead. It sounds like, if you read it to a Jewish person who denies that Jesus is Lord, if you read Isaiah 53 without telling them where you're reading it from, or if you read it yourself, it sounds like you can know, you can discern, it is talking 600 years before it happened, the very details of the crucifixion. Can I tell you that Easter this week is called Holy Week, or we have all kinds of different names for it. We didn't have palms today to wave palms. You know, some when I was a kid, we waved palms. We would go to war with palms before we go into church. Our palms would be just sticks by the time we made it into the sanctuary, because boys were hitting boys with palms, branches, waving. We'd say Hosanna and hit. Y'all ever do that? Did y'all ever do that when you were kids? Did y'all ever do a play at Easter? Hosanna, Hosanna, hail King Jesus. Did y'all ever do that? Who did that? So I know it. Oh, four of you. Okay, all right. They are great weapons if you get a real palm branch. And the ones from the graveyard, the plastic ones, are the best because they don't break. They cause pain. Today, Palm Sunday, Jesus rides in. We know it's prophetic. Christian read the scripture. Zechariah said it 500 years before Christ. He rides in on this donkey, showing that he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And people are praising him. And the Pharisees said, tell him to stop. And he says, if they stop, I'm telling you, even the rocks will cry out, because the rocks oftentimes are smarter than the humans with the brain, because they're created in the image of God. The rocks know who they are. Sometimes Christians and sometimes people don't know who we are or whose we are. Today, as we look at the Word of God, listen, when that king who's on that donkey, I don't necessarily care about the donkey. I know there'll be churches that bring donkeys in. It's not about the donkey. It's not about the palm branches. It's not about the day. It's not about throwing clothing on the way. It's not even about the word Hosanna, because save now, that's what it means. Hosanna means save now. He's already saved. He's already come. He's already died on the cross. He's been resurrected. So we don't shout Hosanna today, because we pray Hosanna, Lord, save me. Because you've saved, you've offered salvation. I just have to receive that gift. Verses 8, second part of 8. In his humanity, Jesus humbled himself even further. He walked in perfect obedience to the Father. You need to mark that, perfect obedience to the Father. Choosing the path of suffering and surrender, even to death on a cross, this was not weakness, but the fullness expression of divine love and obedience. Jesus was not weak. Jesus was meek. And meekness is simply, listen, strength under control. It is that he could have called, as we know, we sing the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. He had the power of God. Why does he need angels? Could he speak things into being? Did God speak the world into being? Matter of fact, let me get a little more personal. Did Jesus create all things? John 1, go read it for yourself. Nothing was made that was made that he didn't make. So who's our creator? Jesus. Now the Father did. He just sitting there like this going, oh, that's pretty good. Like those tomatoes. Yeah. That's not how it works. The three persons are one. They together, listen, but the creation agent, as it were, was the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1, read it for yourself. It's amazing to think that the God who is all powerful, who made the microscopic of the microscopic and the macro of the macro, wants to have a personal love relationship with me. The one who created you, and I don't know if you watch any, if you're a scientist or like those Discovery Channels or anything like that, every time they find something new in the bottom of the ocean, it's like God just screams, I told you, I'm God, right? I've always got something more. And with the atheists or the friends who don't believe, said, I don't believe there is a God, say, well, how's things looking on Pluto? Is it a planet still or a star? If you haven't been to Pluto, don't tell me there is no God. You don't know what's on Mars. You don't even know what's in the next county if you haven't left Aiken County. So don't tell me that you don't believe in a God, because all you are is full of hype and sin. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart there is no God. We joked about when we go to Canada, and if you go to Canada, and they'll say, you Christians, especially the college students, you Americans, y'all all think like this. I'm like, don't put us all in the same category. I don't even know everybody lives on my street, personally. And I've never been to all, has anybody been to all 50 states? All right, one, all 50 states. One of us. Have y'all ever spoken for America? America is a country and you fill in the blank. Have you ever said that before? Whether it's good or bad? We all have. Our ambassadors speak on our behalf all the time, do they not? Our ambassador to Japan, guess what they're saying? America is blah, 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 blah. And sometimes you're like, don't speak for me. But they are. That's their job. The Lord calls you and me the ambassador of reconciliation. You have the ministry of reconciliation. When you leave this place today, if you didn't know that, it means you are to bring people, your lost sinner friend, grab the hand of God, as it were, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and bring them to each other. Say, listen, come, like Andrew told Peter, hey, we found the Messiah. Come, hear him. How do we do that today? Listen, it's just through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verses 9 through 11, because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. This is the great and unshakable truth. One day, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Could you do me a favor before we leave today? If you have a bulletin, would you just take that note right there and look at it with me? I want to do something. I want to stand because we're going to dismiss here in a couple minutes. I want to stand together and do this. Would you stand and hold your bulletin? Children, adults, senior adults, if you're sitting, you can do it as well. Let's read that together. Because of this. Would you do that? Let's do that together slowly. Because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. This is the great and unshakable truth. One day, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Be seated just for a moment, and we'll finish up. Listen, that's the truth from the Word of God, y'all. This passage calls us not only to believe these truths, but to be shaped by them. We're invited to walk with the same humility, surrender, and obedience, trusting that the way of Christ is the way of life. Here's news for you today, and we're going to finish on this. If you don't like being around Jesus and Jesus' people today, why would you ever want to go to heaven? If you don't want to be around his people today, so I don't like his people, I don't like him, I don't like his ways, I've created my own God. Then you have a God outside the Bible. And that's a false God. So today, listen, if you're not in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, the question is, why not? Here's the problem for you. If you're just on the outside looking in the window and say, I know all about that. I could tell you more. I could tell more of that. I could preach a better message than that today. Listen, but you're on the outside looking in. You know all the religious jargon. You know even the scripture. But you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to die in your sins and go to hell, be separated from God forever. That's what the Bible says is true. Tomorrow, we talked about it here at Town Creek. You're going to be one of the three H's tomorrow. You're going to be here. You're going to be in heaven, or you're going to be in hell tomorrow. Guaranteed, you're going to be one of those three H's tomorrow. Guaranteed. Based on God's word. There's no other halfway point. Purgatory doesn't exist. That was made up by the Roman Catholic Church. It's a falsehood. It's not in the Bible. It's made up. And by the way, Baptists couldn't go to purgatory anyway because it's a Catholic thing. Just saying. Today, what do we look at the word of God and say? So if I stand today and I profess Jesus Christ, I tell you I'm a Christian, I've given my heart and life to Jesus Christ, and I have, will my knee bow one day and say that Jesus Christ is Lord? Can I tell you something right now? I'll do it right now. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. There's other people there that are in heaven. It's heaven bowing before Jesus and going to sing hallelujah and bow the knee. Based on the word of God, listen, it's happening every day right now. When people are in heaven, your loved ones that's gone before, listen, there's a celebration before God. They don't have their new body, so there's not hand raising and all the things that we like to think about and praise, but it's happening in heaven, and it's going to happen in heaven for eternity. But I want to tell you, listen, You might be hardcore and you think you're tough, but I promise you, my brother, my sister, my friend, you will bow your knee in hell and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, based on what the Lord has told us in His Word. Why would you not do it today? Why would you wait for eternity to be sealed and you be shut out? You're still going to do it. Don't you? You say, well, I'm going to resist. Okay, resist. That's what you're doing now. But your resistance now leads to a physical death that leads to an eternal death that you will live forever. Your body, you were made, your soul is going to live forever somewhere in eternity, with God or away from God. You will bow your knee and you will say that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Why would you not do that now? He's given us opportunity. Receive the free gift. Remember what Jesus said, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's that bowing of the knee, Lord, I am a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. Would you forgive me? I believe you're the Savior. I believe we get to celebrate this time of year. I believe you died for my sins. And I believe that if I trust you, Lord, you'll save me. He says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not shall in the future. That's shall right now, right here. Isn't that good news? That's why we know the world is full of bad news, but that's why we as Christians share the good news. And aren't you glad we're not on commission today? Aren't you glad that I'm not following you around with a horn to blow? Because who would have a horn stuck at them and blowing all day long? Sometimes it'd be me, right? Just like I drove to something that day, it'd be the same. By the way, we never fixed the horn. The horn's still broken. Church, listen. Friends, listen. This time of year, Easter, is a beautiful time. We wear light-colored clothing. We wear flowers. We sit with Grandma. We eat a big Easter dinner. It's a time of celebration. This is our Super Bowl Sunday, if you're a football fan. This is our time, as Christians say, listen, this is it. This is the most, we call it a holy day, even though no day is special, more special than others. This is the day that we as Christians have set aside saying, we celebrate the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to know more and more about that resurrection, that mysterious resurrection mystery. We want to know more, and we can know more through His Word. But can I tell you, just as I said at Christmas, Christmas was Judgment Day. Christmas was the day that the Lord had rolled in. He was born of a virgin, and judgment came that day. It says everyone who believes on Him, well, that's just a baby. That baby was growing up to be a man, a sinless man, 100% God, yet 100% God, never leaving His deity. And then we get to Easter. He dies on the cross. He's buried. 3 days later, He rises again according to Scripture. What does that say to those people? It says, I don't believe that. I don't want any part of that. That's your judgment day. If it's true that God sent His Son, if it's true that He died for all men's sins, and if it's true that He requires you to confess and believe on Him, He gives you the grace to do it. He gives you the faith to do it. He gives you the truth and the Word that you can understand it. If He requires that of everyone, to come to the Father, right? Because He said Himself, this is Jesus speaking, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me or by me. If that's the truth and you go over and go, I don't believe it, what does that say about you when you die? Are you going to heaven? No, you can't. Even God Himself can't change the rules and let you in. Everybody talks about heaven like it's some fluffy place that you just want to go to. Heaven's going to be an awesome place. But listen, we're not even, that's another message for another day. We're not even going to stay in heaven forever. There's a new heaven and new earth coming. We got work to do in the future for eternity. That's another message for another day. But listen, to get there, you must confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You must believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And when you believe that and you confess that, that's what this public profession of faith is called baptism. Someone stands, the question is, have you given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Do you want to live for Him all the days of your life? Yes. Based on your profession, or we would say if you're in a court of law, you confess to that. You confess that you're a sinner, you're guilty, guilty as charged, and now you're saying, listen, but someone's paid the debt. And that's where the word justification comes from in the Word of God. God justifies you through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. Hey, let's pray. Let's stand together. We're going to give you an invitation. At every church service we have, we try to give an invitation to invite you to come give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you want to pray, the altar is open. And I know there's a lot of things on our hearts, but let's stand together and we're going to sing, but let me pray for us today. Father God, the question is, will we, Lord, understand and believe these truths? Question is, will we, Lord, believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God here before we die? Lord, I pray that for all my brothers and sisters. I pray that for my friends and family. Even my enemies, Lord, I pray that for them, that, Lord, knowing Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened in my life. It's definitely not the easiest thing that's ever happened in my life. It was easy to be saved, but, Lord, living the life, I guess, Lord, it is light work when I trust you, hard work when I get in the way. But thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul, and I thank you that you allowed me the opportunity of grace, through grace, to bow my knee, confess you as Lord, and become a Christian all those years ago. Lord, help me continue to grow in grace. Help a brother and sister, help a friend that's here today, and maybe a new guest. Help them, Lord, to hear the word and respond, understanding a no response is saying no in rejection to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've given us an opportunity. Help us take advantage of it. In Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.